Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You're going to get hard if you play us.
Nobody was harmed in the making of this audio.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is, and it's a victory Monday, y'all. Them Texans got a dub yesterday, 20-12 over the Miami Dolphins. And yes, indeed, Mark, the headliner is without a doubt the defense. They were elite. They were special. Yesterday, they were definitely Super Bowl caliber, could carry a team deep into the playoffs type of defense, without a doubt. Now, yesterday, you look at it, the total team stats, if you look at what the Texans ended up, they ended up giving up 224 total yards. They ended up turning Miami over four times and keeping them out of the end zone, obviously, for the most part. How kept them out of the end zone? Was it four field goals? So kept them out of the end zone across the board.
One,
they missed an extra point, didn't he?
Yeah. It was Jonnu Smith.
That's right. So held him to 12 points. Again, 224 yards, turned him over four times, and were absolutely suffocating yesterday. The game plan, as you mentioned, by D'Amico Ryans was unbelievable. Derek Stingley Jr., I think, has established himself as a top corner in this league, and maybe even in some people's mind, the top corner. Kalen Bullock is a guy that, again, yesterday impacted the game in a major way, and then, oh, by the way, also had an interception that he damn near returned for a touchdown. And this defense was absolute suffocating yesterday versus an offense that I think a lot of folks, one, it was a hot offense. They had scored 30 plus points in three of the last four games. The only game that they hadn't scored 30 plus points in is one of them cold weather games somewhere that they played, and Miami's never good in cold weather. So this was indoors. This was that Miami offense that you had to fear could score upwards of 30 points, and the Texans defense absolutely locked it up. 713-572-4610. We do want to hear from y'all, but we got to cuss and discuss this real quick. If you're on the phone, stay there. We'll get to you here pretty quick. This is the Texans defense, the fourth best defense in total yards, fellas. A top 10 defense in passing yards allowed, a top 10 defense in rush yards allowed, plus 13 in turnover ratio are the Texans, in large part due to how often the defense has turned the football over this season. Now, I didn't look at Tua's completion percentage yesterday, but nonetheless, this has been the best defense overall in terms of completion percentage allowed. This defense has two guys in the top 10 in the NFL in number of interceptions, Kalen Bullock and Derek Stingley Jr. You saw them yesterday. This defense has two guys in the top 10 in the NFL in terms of sacks. You're looking at Will Anderson had one sack yesterday. Daniil Hunter had two, had 1.5 sacks yesterday. So there's a lot of things to really like about this defense with the Houston Texans. And off of yesterday, I understand where yesterday this was an elite defense. This was a defense that could carry you to a Super Bowl. Now, I understand after a win and after that kind of performance, there are some folks may be prisoners of the moment. Some folks may really believe it. And I want to get you two's take on this. Where do y'all think that the Texans defense, I know yesterday we've already established that they were elite, but where do y'all think they actually live in the NFL? Is this a defense that truly you have no hesitation putting, you know, deep run in the playoffs, Super Bowl caliber defense, that label on this particular defense?
Yeah, I was skeptical of going that far earlier, but no, this feels like a top five level defense. Yeah, you start to think about them. This feels like if you look at, let's look at the AFC right now in terms of defenses that I think that the teams that are going to go in the playoffs. I think their defense, when you look at everything right now, health and everything, I think their defense, I would give them an edge over the Chiefs. Look at Buffalo. They're damn sure better than Buffalo. Pittsburgh, maybe they're the same as Pittsburgh. I think Kansas City, Houston, and Pittsburgh all and the Chargers all have elite level defenses. And maybe Pittsburgh, Denver's is really good too, but maybe Pittsburgh is the only one that I would look at to maybe put ahead of them just from the eye test, watching them and what they're able to do. Pittsburgh is what they're able to do to Lamar, who's a tough cover, you know, that how they're able to kind of shut them down. So to me, I think they're right up there, one or two, in terms of the best defenses in the AFC. And really, hell, that's all that matters right now. Right there. Philly may be the best in the league right now. I think they're in that top five range.
Yeah, they're definitely in that. I mean, depending on how you want to look at it, if you want to look at it from a total yardage perspective, the Tennessee Titans, surprisingly, are the second best defense in terms of yards allowed, the second best defense in football. The Texans are the fourth, and then you get over into passing and rushing and breaking this thing down, and the Texans are top 10 across the board. And then you look at how they do it with all the pressure that they create. I think is a brand of football that is not just let's play good defense, but it's we'll turn you over and we'll generate points from the defensive pressure that we can create. So I think there's something there too to this team. Tyler, what about you? You think this is a Super Bowl caliber defense?
Oh, I do. I do. It all starts up front with that pass rush. I mean, we've seen the statistics and the tweets been put out by PFF and others about how much pressure this Texans team is getting on the opposition each and every week. And then you're looking at Derek Stingley Jr., some of these linebackers toe-to-toe, playing his ass off. Yeah, I definitely think this is a defense that could carry the Texans in some ways and into the AFC playoffs in some great ways.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, boys. I think this is a team, man, that you put the right pieces in. I say pieces, I mean offense. If you get the offense rolling the right way, you got a lockdown corner that at any point in time can eliminate somebody from the box score, can damn sure eliminate somebody from the moment, from the actual situation that you're in on the field. You, the interior defensive line that I was worried about early on, they played significantly better. Not only have they only been better against the run, those guys, Tim Settle Jr., Mario Edwards, the Foley Fatakasi, these guys have actually created pressure and gotten sacks along with your edge rushers out there. Your linebackers have been significantly better in the absence of Azeez Al-Shaair. Henry Toa may be the most improved player on the entire Texans roster right now with the way that he's played. Jimmy Ward filling in for Jalen Petrie has been used, and we talked about Kalen Bullock. I mean, this defense, I think it's legit. It's believable that this is a team. This is a defense right now that I would not hesitate to say that, boy, if you get things right on the offensive side of the football, you could make a run deep in the playoffs and potentially to a Super Bowl leaning into this this defense, being a defense-heavy football team, a defense-driven football team, ball control on offense, game manager on offense, and just being balls to the wall on the defensive side of the football. So I'm there with this defense. I think that's fair. I know 2 weeks ago they gave up 30-plus points to the Tennessee Titans. I know there's been some moments in here where it's been rough, but there's also been some moments where you shut down some of the best quarterbacks in football and some of the best offenses in football. So I do think it's a legit question. Let's go to the lines real quick and see what these fans are talking about. 713-572-4610. Go ahead and give us a call. Text us in. We want to hear from you. Alberto on the northeast side. Alberto, what you think?
Hey, what's going on, man?
I don't know. What's good? What you think about this defense?
Hey, man, I tell you what. Y'all are right on point. You know, these last couple of games, I've been watching the Texans play, and I'm diehard. I've been following them ever since they started the franchise, but even before that. But I was telling you one thing, though. Now I'm hoping the defense will win the game for us. You know, they've been carrying the load. And if I was they are definitely a Super Bowl caliber defense. I know that for a fact. It's just the offense needs to catch up, or else we maybe end up having to lose guys, you know, later on, because not be able to pay them all. But I'll tell you one thing. If I was Patrick Mahomes, I would consider sitting out this game. All to y'all. Thank you.
That's a good question. I mean, that's a good question. Let's follow up on that, Ron, about what maybe Kansas City does on the backside of this thing. And from the lens of the Texans' pressure and how much they can hit a quarterback. Let's knock this last call out right here. Judy, do you got me? This sneaky line number three. There you go. Judy, I got you. What's going on, girl?
I do have you. I do. I just was saying how it was so nice to be in the stands yesterday. And I wasn't worried about losing our football game. I wasn't scared we were going to go into a tie. It was awesome the way the defense was playing. It was very calm, and it was great to be in the stands knowing we were going to win that football game. It was great.
Thank you, Judy. I appreciate the call. You're right. That's an easy game to fan for right there, isn't it? I mean, when the defense is lighting it up like that, and the defense now. The dam could have broken at any point in the second half. I mean, that's life in the NFL. But as a fan, and hell, we're in the press box and we're sitting there watching it. To Judy's point, it's like, man, you're sitting there and you're cool, calm, and collected. Hey, you know what? It's third and two, or fourth and two. No, we don't need to go for it, man. Go ahead and punt, or hey, fake punt if you want, or you know, whatever. However, the offense is or isn't executing right now. The defense has got this one handled. I'm gonna go get me another cold beer. And while I'm gone, you miss a damn. Interception. So, needless to say, it sounds like everybody's flying high on this defense, and I'm with them. I'm believing in it. My name's Clint Sterner. I'm sitting next to my man Ron Ugly, the show. Ugly.
Just Ugly. Just Ron.
Which one bothers Ron you? Hewley. Which one bothers you worse, Ugly or Show?
Ugly. Ron Ugly. Hewley.
He really believed it when he said it. He's so much so, Tyler made a drop out of it.
He believed
it. T-Mills behind the glass over on the ones and twos. Real quick, I mean, you follow the Kansas City team, obviously. You think Pat Mahomes, I know it's early. I know it's reaction Monday, and we're still talking about this last game, but you think Pat Mahomes plays this week against the Texans?
I think we'll know a lot more. Maybe like the next 2 days. But if he can go, he can go. It's not like let's just rest it. The Chiefs, they would love to have the one seed. They've got players that are older. They've got players that have some injury concerns. They've got players that they've just added to the mix that haven't played a lot that they would want to get. Hollywood Brown may come back for this game. Steven Nelson, who they just got last week. So they got guys they want to get into integrated into the team. And it'd be nice to have a little bit more time than having to do it on the fly. So I think the bye is extremely important. And right now, they even though at 13-1, they've got a 2-game lead over Buffalo, but Buffalo has a tiebreaker. And they need to win at least two more to be sure, because Buffalo is playing the Patriots twice and the Jets, and two of those are at home. So it feels like Buffalo is probably going to win their three games, and the Chiefs need to win those two. So if he can go, he can go. Now, if he's sitting there like 50% or something, right, this hitting the playoffs, they, you know, they're going to have to roll with Carson Wentz. But, I mean, if he's 75% or whatever, I think the game is that important.
Yeah, I don't think the I guess to the caller's point, I hate to say it, but I don't think that the Texans' ability to pressure the quarterback is way in any way, shape, or form in the minds of Pat Mahomes or now it may on hopefully it will on game day, but I don't think it is as we speak right now. that guy.
They ran their left guard to go against Myles Garrett all game
long. Hey, can we shift gears real quick and talk about college ball just for a quick minute? I don't know if y'all have seen this, but I know there's a lot of talk about transfer portal and NIL, and I know there's probably some fatigue, but this may be the damnedest thing I've heard. Have y'all seen where Penn State's backup quarterback is transferring?
Had to get out of there, yeah.
Penn State's backup quarterback, I mean, this team's got a chance to make a national championship run in which he could very well play a part of if something were to go down and could be on the biggest stage and if not, make a little money at Penn State over the next year or so, could damn sure up his stock.
Don't the rules, if I'm wrong, put it in a certain way that you have to declare better to declare early? Because a lot of the Florida State kids did that. They didn't have any quarterbacks.
Well, there's a couple of different transfer portal windows. There's a couple different windows open, and this first one is going to close before, my understanding is it's going to close before, obviously, Penn State wraps this thing up. It's silly. No question, but the thought is like you can't. It's something about the school year and these kids getting enrolled in the school that there's not enough time to push it back to save bowl season. I'm less concerned about the college football playoffs and the 12 teams that make that because you're looking at a month worth of football here moving forward. There's no answer to that. But when you look at what's going on at Marshall right now, they have to pull out of their bowl game, the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana, which, boy, I spent some great times in Shreveport, Louisiana. Good Lord, there's some stories to be told there now. You know, they pull completely out of it because their coach got a new gig and 25 players transferred with him from Marshall. So they pull completely out of the bowl game. There has to be something that you can push to, you know, give a 3-day or 4-day window for these players to play bowl games and then transfer within a 3 or 4 day window to their new school before the second semester starts or the next semester of college starts. There's maybe a late enroll you know exception or something. There's got to be something. This is going to ruin college football and at least postseason football.
Yeah, I mean their starting quarterback declared that he's coming back to Penn State. Yeah. And so now it's like,
now he's out.
Now I can't play here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, and that's tough because if something does happen to him, who the hell is going to be the backup?
By the way, their starter had no business declaring he's coming back.
Yeah, he did.
His ass was coming back.
He didn't know.
His ass was coming back.
The league might go for some more money. They got a deal worked out already. All right. Coming up, it is a reaction Monday. And yes, we are reacting to your brand new AFC South division champions. But it's also time to react a little bit to Dana Brown. If you have not heard Dana Brown give his reasonings and thoughts behind the Tucker trade and what it means from the outfield moving forward, you don't want to miss that coming up on the other side.
Tuck time is coming.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Got under this one. Is it deep enough to right field? Kerry Carpenter to the wall. It is gone. Just enough for King Tuck.
Right there, June the 26th against the Detroit Tigers. I just made up a date. Todd Callis on the call. If I'd have held that in, people would have just, damn, man, that happened December or June 26th.
So long ago.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker is gone. Haven't heard Tyler since that happened. Missed it, boy. Me and Clint, we were spirited about the thought of that situation to kick things off. It ended with Clint. Can I finish my sentence? No.
Damn, I'm sorry I missed that.
No, you don't get to. No, until I finish mine.
To be fair, I said, can I finish? Can I finish?
Well, let me finish mine.
Yeah, man, I got off the plane in Colorado to that news. I was like, well, damn.
Well, yes, Kyle Tucker is going to the Chicago Cubs. And I'm telling you, boy, listening to our big voice guy, no surprise, I just tore up two of those names. Got Cam Smith in return.
Mm-hmm.
But I was calling that young man Isaac. That's what it read. And it's Isaac.
Isaac.
Isaac. Paredes. And the other one, I can't remember his name, but I knew it was Wisnowski or something at the end. The voice man said it different when I heard it driving in today. I said,
Mike Wazowski?
You never know with the old big voice guy, man. A lot of times, he's got kind of like Siri. He may
have
with them old street names, man. He may hit you a little something sideways.
But no, so that's the big news with the Astros, and we'll see how they move forward with it. But if you missed it, Dana Brown, this is what he had to say in terms of the Tucker trade.
We've had multiple conversations within the front office about, you know, our players and potential moves that we would make. And so I wouldn't say that this unfolded like within a 24-hour period. I would just say that, you know, in the midst of us having conversations about, you know, some things we could do to keep our team strong and, you know, continue the strength of this club long term, you know, we had certain ideas that we would come up with. And, you know, this was one of those ideas where it's like, okay, maybe we could get multiple pieces. And, you know, we'll still be good this year and build more toward the future. And so I would say it was a matter of weeks that we've had multiple conversations about a lot of our players.
Yeah, I bet it was months. I bet it was a lot longer than that. That part, man, that's the explanation. That's where they're rolling with it. And clearly they've made a decision on that. That's fine. Like I said, Friday, trading Kyle Tucker does not mean that they're not going to compete next year. My whole thing was just the organization. It feels like they're choosing to be and how they are behind the times of where baseball is. But this part to me is a little bit more concerning. This is, at least right now, hopefully Dana's just, you know, whatever. But this is what Dana talked about moving forward, what the outfield could look like.
McCormick's probably going to start off in right. We have Myers in center. We have an opening in left. You know, whether that's going to be, you know, Dubon playing some games there versus a lefty. You know, it could be Trammell playing some games there versus a righty. You know, we do, you know, have an opening in left that we would say we could platoon, or if we get an opportunity to fill that spot, we will do it.
Yeah, that part to me is a bit more concerning on how this outfield is going to look. You know, one, like, all right, man, Chaz and Jake. All right, we got that.
Come at me about white boy Chaz.
We got
He may be back, baby.
Well, he's Chaz right now. He got earned it. So we got two out of the three down. Got it down. December 13th. Got it down. And now it's not like, hey, most definitely, we got to bring somebody in to fill that void. I know Tucker missed a lot last year, but, you know, to ask that team to pick up all of that and not have that type of player who brings the production he does is going to be hard there. But thinking of Dubon and platoon like that right there, boy, it feels like they got to have a little bit more muscle and production in that outfield. I mean, just say it out loud to yourself. Chaz, Jake, Dubon, and platoon. Like that. Like,
I screwed it up.
Yeah.
There's got to be something missing here. There's got to be another.
Well, they.
Paredes is one, but there's got to be something.
Well, I think, look, figuring out what they're going to do with Brett, like this story, like I didn't, that first piece of audio you played, like it sure seems to me like this team is in a spot where, yeah, we'd like to continue to compete, but we're worried about the future. We got to get some pieces back in here. So I really don't know what to make of that first piece of audio. And it matters, like, what they do with Bregman to me. I mean, that's going to give us a direction of the organization, I think, much better than, much more so than Tucker. But, Ron, what's blatantly obvious is, you know, that bet that the Astros over the last 2 years have made on Jake Meyers, they need that thing to hit.
They need him to hit.
I screwed it up.
Well, that's pretty much what I'm talking about. Like, they need Jake Meyers to be a stick at the plate. They need Jake Meyers to be a guy that is middle of the lineup at best and staple. Like, it's no righty lefty crap. It's no, like, they need this dude to be a starting center fielder, and we don't, in the caliber where we don't lead the conversation with, man, this guy's on the cusp of being a Gold Glover. Man, it's got, you know, like,
well, but they're going to need, if those two guys are penciled in, they're going to need Chaz to become WBC again.
Well, yeah, no,
they're going to
got to play out of their mind, but I think to me it's the prospect that they've leaned into and like just overcommitted to is the one that to me needs to be undisputed the center fielder moving forward for the Astros. He needs to play that well.
Yeah. Like if they are not bringing a relatively middle to big piece to fill that outfield void,
mm-hmm.
like even if they sign Bregman back, it feels short. Like it feels like there's.
Oh no, I agree with that.
Like when you start looking at the line, it feels like it's like all right. We know you got Yordan and you got Altuve. All right, if they bring back Bregman, okay, that feels better with Diaz. And now you're like, Paredes, is he gonna like? It still feels short.
I agree, but I. Like, I feel good about this team at the deadline, whether it's pitching or like
what
one.
What do they have to get?
Well, like, yeah, if it's one, but let's not go into it needing a left fielder, a right fielder, and a third baseman. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, it's going to be like, all right, they're not going to address needs at the deadline because there's too many of them. Like, to me, that's the question is when we start the season, is it potential of having three needs plus a starting pitcher? Or is it literally just an outfielder that you need?
Bistros ain't loyal.
Okay. Text line rolls through the outfield. Sounds like our old line. I don't know. I just, if that is the outfield, platoon with Dubon to go with Meyers and Chaz, they better pitch their ass off. Like that, like to offset it. Because, I mean, in your mind, it's hard. Like, guys, they had. Once upon a time, they had Verlander, Cole, and Greinke with Springer, Correa, Altuve, Yuli. Like they had a lineup. They had those guys hitting and those guys pitching.
Yep.
Like, woo, I mean, that one. Woo, it just feels like they're short. All right. Listen, the Texans are they're AFC South champs yet again. They were AFC South champs last year. I want to get a thought of this. Where are you at right now? They're going to go into the playoffs. You remember they went into the playoffs last year. Do you feel better about the Texans' chances to advance in the playoffs this year? Do you feel better about them this year, or did you feel better about it last year? Which do you feel better about, this year's team or last year's team to advance? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, coming up here in just a bit, as we know it is Monday, which means not only is it a Reaction Monday or a Victory Monday, as Tyler has on his shirt, it is also the Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryans. That's coming up as soon as we get done here in about 15 minutes or so. Stay tuned for that. And then as well, before we get out of here, we got to try to make you some money as we will get to T-Mill's Best Bets. I said this in the tease. All right, you're back-to-back years as the Texans being AFC South champs. They're going to host a home game. Now listen, they could... I don't know about them catching Buffalo, just like with Buffalo, as Buffalo is two games behind the Chiefs. The Texans are two games behind Buffalo. If they finish with the same record, the Texans have the tie record with the head-to-head. I'm not sure if they're if you know what I mean, that the Texans need to win out, the Bills need to lose two of three to the Patriots and the Jets. So we'll I'm not sure if that'll happen. But I do think they can catch the Steelers for the three seed. The Steelers now have one more loss or one less loss. They got four losses to your five losses, and they finish up with Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. So you could see that as a potential to maybe catch them in the three seed, which would mean, you know, maybe an easier opponent in the first round, which would be like the Broncos or the Chargers, as opposed to the Ravens as it's set up right now, and to go to, I guess, what, Buffalo instead of Kansas City if you were to get past that first round. So that is still in the cards, catching the Steelers.
Well, that is if Buffalo wins, right? Yeah. The thought would be if you can. I mean, really, to me, the thought of trying to get to that three seed is to set yourself up to, if the two seed gets knocked off, then you could have a second home playoff game.
Yeah,
so
higher seeding. Yeah,
and how good the Texans have been, you know, at home for the most part, especially the defense. You know, I think that would be my motivation. But either way, the point is that higher seed is either another home game or a slightly lesser path to an AFC championship or a Super Bowl.
But as I said, do you have, you know, same situation right now as last year. Four seed last year, right now you're the four seed. You're going to have at least one home playoff game. Do you feel more comfortable, or actually comfortable, do you feel better about this year's team going into the playoffs than you did about last year's team going to playoffs in terms of advancing? Mm-hmm. Not advancing, not just do you feel better. Yeah, last year, hey, man, it was, hey, we weren't supposed to be here. You feel great. But I'm talking about actually advancing in the playoffs. You feel better about this team being able to do it, or did you feel better about last year's team? A couple of people texting in. This is from Black Greg, not to be confused with our other Greg. I think last year was more exciting, was more an exciting season because of the surprise of how good the team was. But this is a better team in a weaker conference than last year. That's come from Black Greg. I had more faith in this team last year. This year, they're going to get their asses tore up. That's coming from two different people, our last two texts on the text line. Where are you at? You feel better about this year's team advancing or last year's team?
Last year's.
Yeah.
My hope is that this year with Baltimore and Cincinnati and Kansas City on the schedule still, my hope is that I get to a place where I feel better about this offense or as good about this offense this year as I did last year, and I can couple that with this defense that I feel really good about, and then we're on to something. But right now, for me, Ron, I have zero confidence in the Houston Texans offense versus a better defense. Now, Miami's a good defense, and you did enough, but it took Miami turning the football over four times. And look, I think the Texans can beat anybody in football if they turn the football over four or five times, right? If the opponent turns the ball over four or five times, right? So I think if that happens and that's the hope, then hell yeah, they can make a run at. I feel really good about them right now. But the reality of it is, I felt better about last year. I did not see the Texans getting just absolutely suffocated last year by the Ravens. I knew the Ravens were really good, and I knew it was going to be a tough outing. I didn't know that they were going to get suffocated the way they did. So going into that, I felt significantly better about Bobby Slowick. I felt significantly better about C.J. Stroud and the overall offense's ability to overcome injuries and overcome shortcomings and still put points on the board, be able, if you get into a shootout, to be able to withstand and win a shootout. I felt so much better about the offense last year that I'm nowhere near that this year. So I felt better about last year's team at this point in time than I do, or let's say going to the playoffs, than I do this team right now.
Yeah, for me, I feel better about this year's. Not real close. I think they've got a dominant, elite, potentially dominant, but an elite level unit on their defense. And I think CJ and Nico and Joe can make potentially enough plays on that side. All right, let's make you a little cash before we get out of here and hand it over to D'Amico Ryans. Tyler, let's get this thing started off right. Hey, man, you got a lot to pick from. You got two Monday Night Football games tonight. What are the bets you're making out? I'm actually concerned. Clint, I don't think you need to wonder if he has room. This feels like a double-digit bet night for Tyler with two Monday Night Football games. Oh,
yeah, I think that feeling would be correct. And just to keep it a little simple here, I don't have room. No, I got a full board tonight looking to make a lot of money on a Monday. And if I keep betting like I have been on the NFL so far in December, that will be the case. But I focused on one of these two Monday night games. I'm on the Bears at Vikings. Six best bets for you. Here they are. Vikings, -5. I teased that a little bit. I believe the line's actually closer to 7. Vikings, -5. I'm on the over for this game, over 43.5 points tonight between the Bears and Vikings. I'm on the Vikings first half over 13.5 points. And then I got some player props as always. Sam Darnold, over 21.5 completions for the Vikings. And then two props on that dude, Justin Jefferson. Jefferson over 6.5 receptions tonight. And the yardage for JJ, over 81.5 receiving yards for Justin Jefferson and the Vikings.
Yeah, can I get 100 on them catches?
I'm maxed out, bro.
Oh.
Them catches feel good. I love the Vikings -5. I think you got several 1-2-3 Cancun members over there on that Chicago team. DJ Moore being at the top of the list. And they got a brand new coaching staff. You know, usually you get a new coach, you get the bump. No, they went out there and looked like they could stand being around each other in their last game. So they got their ass kicked there. I like the Jefferson stuff as well. So yeah, it should be big. These two Monday Night Football games. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm gonna turn it on, but I could quickly see myself getting over to finishing the Netflix show The Madness. Fantastic,
great show.
I've watched that.
Fantastic. One more left.
I've watched it.
Fantastic.
Tremendous. How about Black Dove? Black Doves.
I haven't seen that.
Good one.
And my man, playing that role well. Guy playing a straight man really, really well in that The Madness. All right.
Is he not straight?
No.
He played a good one.
Hell, he convinced me. All right. Coming up, D'Amico Ryan's behind us.
Huh? Who'd he smash? I forgot.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
And then, courtesy of Westwood One, Monday Night Football, you'll get Bears-Vikings. All of that. Next, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Congratulations, AFC South champs. I'm Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. And I know it's
gonna be. He got a 3-pack of rubbers.
Yeah, it did. The rubber ring.
Nice.
The rubber joints.
They Magnum?
Hey, not some skinny
fingers. Not my finger. I got skinny fingers. I got long skinny fingers.
Glow in the dark?
No, these aren't Magnum. My penis is big.
Now, who's talking about that? I mean,
I just wanted to specify that.
I mean,
just
golly.
I wanted to specify. But anyhow.
Is that my boy Ron?